Okay, we can release the children to Children's Church, if you will. Take a copy of the scriptures, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 10, everyone's favorite chapter. It's all genealogy. Thank you guys for helping us. We needed it today. Everyone's either in bed or in Florida or in Michigan or somewhere. It's that time of year. I had the joy and honor and privilege of sitting in with the Bridge Group on Tuesday night. They are young adults who are out of high school. Some of them just out of college, some of them just out of trade school, some of them in the midst of apprenticeships and getting on with their life and working. And they are studying the book of Judges, and they are handling it very well and getting application and encouragement for one another in their work week. And I see that they are reading it for themselves and with others as they have been taught in their lives. They are practicing the discipleship that they have been learning and seeing. And so that is a great encouragement to me, and I hope to you as well. And they will be going, as long as they continue, to walk together and learn together, inspired by the Spirit of God and one another and the Lord Himself. They will keep coming to new places in their lives, throughout their whole lives. And so this series that I am engaged in now, I am taking you to some new places that I'm coming to. Sorry if you've been there already. Last week we talked about Adam and Eve. We talked about how the Garden of Eden was a place of heaven set on the earth, and we lost our right to be there. We talked about the snake as a spiritual being in rebellion. We talked about the two peoples that came away from that beginning, the seed of the snake and the seed of the woman. And those are humans who decide to follow either their own self or to follow God, to call on the name of the Lord. And we've seen how the Bible gives us a sometimes not quite clear or maybe just kind of very plain look at something, and then it clarifies and comes into focus in a way that we hadn't initially seen before. And we're going to see that happening again today as well. And so we're going to talk about one of the probably three most important people in the Bible. Today we're going to talk about Abraham. And I would say he's there, obviously, behind Jesus. But Jesus is, his body was from the seed of Abraham. The other person is Moses. And just as an indicator of their importance, Abraham is mentioned 72 times in the New Testament, and Moses is mentioned 80 times. And so they are probably the most mentioned characters from the Old Testament in the New Testament. And so they are big mile markers, if you will. So Abraham is the man to whom was given the promise that Jesus fulfilled by coming. And so we want to get a look at this section. We're talking about Abraham. I'm going to call him Abram because that was his name before God changed it here at the beginning of the story. And in Genesis 10, 11, and 12, we're just getting introduced to Abram. And we want to see how the Bible later sheds light back on these chapters and gives us some spiritual meaning to what seems like fairly straightforward physical life on Earth. So if we could get the first slide up, please. The slide of talking about the nations, the table of nations, the sons of whom. And so I want to think about this what's called the table of nations in chapter 10 of Genesis. That's the title that I have here. And it talks about what God's response to the flood is. And human beings, after the flood, they went and they created this Tower of Babel. And so the Tower of Babel story comes in the middle of this genealogy. Could I have the next slide, please? I cleverly did not bring the clicker up here, so I'll be calling for those. So here is a short synopsis. Verse 2, the sons of Japheth. The sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they start with the youngest son first and go backwards, because what we're doing in all of chapter 10 with the Table of Nations is saying goodbye to everyone but the line that's going to come to Abraham. So we have the sons of Japheth in chapter 2, verse 2, verse 6, the sons of Ham, and then in verse 21, we have already been into the genealogy of the man called Shem. And it says, Shem also, to him, the father of all the children of Eber. Now, Eber is the name we get Hebrew from. Eber the Hebrew, I guess. Abram is called Hebrew. And the reason is this. The children were born, verse 25, to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, and that sounds like the Hebrew word for division, dividing. For in his days, the earth was divided. And that, he's talking about the Tower of Babel happened. So it happened in the middle of this genealogy. And his brother's name, Peleg's brother's name, was Joktan. So the rest of chapter 10 just talks about the sons of Joktan. And we don't hear about them, any of them, anymore. We say goodbye to all of them, to Japheth, whose people end up after the tower. They went up to Europe and Asia, and the sons of Ham, who went south to Africa, and then part of Shem, who's still in the Middle East area, but then we're going to talk about the other line of Shem that the Bible's interested in after the story of the tower. So in chapter 11, that will take us to Abram. So humanity, after the flood, chooses to be like they were before the flood. They choose to worship themselves. The seed of the snake in humanity is alive and well. These are Cain's people. Even though all of Cain's physical descendants got wiped out in the flood, turns out what turns us into Cain is something that goes right through the middle of every human heart. That's the dividing line between good and evil. And we have this tendency towards evil. An evil inclination, God said, after the flood. That's what you have, and that's why I'm not going to judge the whole earth again by flooding. So now we want to see the Bible interpret itself a little bit. So when God saw that mankind had moved to this area, what is modern-day Baghdad, that area, Mesopotamia, they had built this great tower, and they said, we'll build a tower up to heaven, and we'll have a great name in all the earth, and we'll be able to do for ourselves whatever we want. Now remember, Moses is writing this down, but Moses starts in the book of Exodus. That's his life. He's born in Exodus, and he dies at the end of Deuteronomy. So that's all the books of the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. So what happened in Genesis was a long time before Moses' life, but he's writing this down for the children wandering in the wilderness so they will know who they are. It's very important. And so Moses writes his swan song, if you will, at the last of Deuteronomy. If we could have the slide with this one, thank you. Deuteronomy 32 and 8, Moses says this about Genesis 10 and 11, or Genesis 11. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. And now I gave you two other translations of that last phrase. There are three textual traditions here, and it's kind of two against one. He gave them according to the number of the sons of God or the angels of God, which says the same thing. It means the same thing as the sons of God. And finally, one tradition has according to the number of the sons of Israel. Now, you don't need to know Greek or Hebrew to understand this. What you need are a pair of reading glasses so you can read the footnote in your text at that place, and it will tell you at the bottom of the page that these are different traditions. So whatever your Bible picked, now the NIV Bible will have picked the sons of Israel because they are following what's called the Masoretic text. That is a text that the oldest version we have is from about 900 AD. So in ancient terms, not so long ago. The other two texts that this one follows, this is the ESV, the English Standard Version. Keep up with me here now. The English Standard Version says the sons of God, and it's getting that from the Dead Sea Scroll texts. The Dead Sea Scrolls and the Greek Old Testament, that is the Septuagint, are from a couple hundred years before Jesus. There are two most ancient Old Testament textual traditions. And so I'm following the older tradition on this account here. And what it means is that after the flood, the humans built a tower, and God put humans, when he scattered them, they formed the nations, and he put them under the authority, the spiritual authority, of these sons of God, that is to say, angel class beings on the earth. Now, there's an example of that in the book of Daniel. We get just a little bit of a curtain pullback, and Daniel had been praying for weeks, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, "Sorry, I'm late. I had a problem." And he says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me or fought against me for 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." What he's saying here about in the realm of Deuteronomy 32 is that these princes are angels who have authority over nations, places, and people groups. They are angels with authority within the fallen realm of humanity on the earth. And so what I read from this is that God gave rebellious humanity over to rebellious gods, small g gods, or angels, if you will. Paul talks about these in his correspondence. He talks about them as powers and principalities. And I don't think he's just kind of making that up. I think he's exegeting Deuteronomy and Daniel for us to understand the great powers that we see even to this day, and especially this day on the earth, in the news every day. How many times have you said, "How could they say that? How could they do that?" We have been witness for my entire adult life to people screaming angrily, in a rage screaming, for the right to kill their unborn children. And now they're screaming for the right to physically mangle young children to change their gender, which they cannot really do. And I would tell you that those things are driven by deeper and darker forces. Those are the doctrine of demons, if you will. And people are being influenced by them when they go down those roads. And so we live in the same cosmos system, except that in Acts 2, at the day of Pentecost, all those nations that are listed off in that chapter are the nations that are listed off in chapter 10 of Genesis. And so Jews from all of those places all over the world came to Jerusalem, heard the gospel, saw the people who received the Holy Spirit that day, and many of them were saved. And so God's good news got spread back all over the world. The church in Rome that Paul writes to didn't have any of the apostles go there and start that. And so a good surmise is that Jews from the day of Pentecost got saved and went there and took that gospel and started a church in that place. So the cosmos system, though, is still in place with its powers and principalities. But so God let all of humanity who wanted to worship themselves go out and be on the earth under gods that they chose. But he chose for himself a nation. The next slide, please. A nation that he calls the Lord's portion. And he talks about that again in Deuteronomy, but we're going to look again at Genesis 11. Next slide, please. After the story of the Tower of Babel, we start into a genealogy that is going to take us from Noah all the way to Abraham. So in chapter 5 of Genesis, we have a genealogy that takes us from Adam to Noah. It's 10 generations. And now we have from Noah to Abraham, 10 more generations. And it says, I shortened it, abridged it here. These are the generations of Shem, from which we heard the word Semite or anti-Semitism. When you hear that, that's whose name is being referred to. And we go down to his son Eber, the Hebrew again. When Eber lived 34 years, he fathered Peleg. We've heard his name before, but this time we don't see his brother named in here because we've said goodbye to him already. And this is the line that goes to the people of faith that God is growing. And Eber lived after he fathered Peleg 430 years. He had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he fathered Reu, Serug, Nahor, I've heard that name, Terah, I've heard that name, and Abram. So we know these guys now. And so we want to look again back at what Moses had to say about this at the end of his life. So the next slide, please. Deuteronomy 32 and 9. But this is saying in response to the first thing that the Most High fixed the borders of the peoples according to the numbers of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted heritage. Moses is looking back and saying, this is what happened and this is what it means. So in Genesis 11, there's no Jacob yet. We've just got Abraham because Jacob is Abraham's grandson. But the writer, Moses, centuries later, he is a son of Jacob. So he knows what this means. Jacob is also called Israel. And that is the nation that came from Abraham. So the nations who built the tower are on their own with their gods that they chose. But the Lord God, Yahweh, is with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are his people. That's what he says. This is my nation. And so the nations will make statues of their gods so that they can see them. those people, the ancients, when they had idols and worshiped them, they didn't really believe that those idols were living. Those idols were venues for the spirits or the angels that they believed in and were under and wanted to enliven these statues that they built. They were honoring them in that way. And we think, well, how horrible is that? If you want today to see if your hero is Vladimir Lenin, who died 100 years ago, 101 years ago, 1924, and he began the Soviet Union. If you want to see him, his body is still on display at Red Square in a mausoleum there next to or very close to the Kremlin. You can go and pay homage or worship this dead person, now an idol. In comparison to that, Abraham recognizes because he's seen Adonai. God is alive, and God has appeared to Abraham. So we've talked about the nations of peoples and the nation of the Lord. Let's get this next slide, please. We come to the promise given to Abraham by the word of the Lord. And we're going to see that God is appearing to Abraham. Next slide, please. So at the beginning of chapter 12, this is the one that we know. And the Lord said to Abraham, Adonai said to Abram, get going out from your land. So get up and go. The Hebrews call this section, the Jews call it in the Hebrew Bible, Lech Lecha, which is the same word said twice for emphasis. Get up and go. And that's what Abraham is told to do, but he's already living in Haran. This is the first we are hearing of it, but is it the first that Abraham has heard of it? Does someone just get up and take everything they have because they hear one time this voice in the night? Is that what it is? I don't think so at all. Once again, I think the Bible helps us interpret the Bible. In Acts chapter 7, if you want to, next slide, please. Stephen, who was a deacon in the one of the first deacons in the church, and he's also the first martyr in the church. He is on trial for his life, and he says it this way to the Jewish leaders that he is talking with. Brothers and fathers, hear me, fellow Jews. The God of glory appeared, as in you can see with your eyes, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Now, as I've noted in here, that is new information. That's more than we understood in Genesis 12, and it helps to make some sense of Genesis 12. No, in fact, Abram had seen God and knew who he was before that. Now, Terah, because he's dad and he gets all the honor, he got the credit for moving them to Haran. But we learn from Stephen that the reason they moved to Haran because the Lord God was speaking, appearing to Abraham or Abram at that point. So the rest of the promise is, get going from your land and from your relatives. Now he's saying that the Lord is saying this, not for the first time, but he's saying this now that he's in Haran and his father has died. Leave your relatives from your father's house. Go to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire, Abram, is to make you into a great nation and to bless you. And Abram's thinking, well, that's going to be interesting because I'm old, my wife's old, and we have no children. God keeps on. I want to make your name great so that you might be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you. That's where we come in. Those of us who have blessed the Lord, who follow Jesus, have blessed Abraham. But whoever curses you, I will curse. We get to choose whether it be the seed of the woman or the seed of the snake, still to this day. And he goes on, Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so Abram went, he got up and went to Canaan, just as the Lord had spoken to him. Now, let's go to the next slide. There it is. Then the Lord, this is verse 7, after Abram is in this land called Canaan, what we call Israel. Then Adonai appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your seed. Now, the only piece of that land that Abram was ever going to own was the place he bought in order to bury his wife Sarah years later. But this land is given to your seed. That doesn't exist yet. And so in faith, by faith, he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And so Abram now recognizes Yahweh. He recognizes Yahweh when he comes in the form that Abram can see him, in a body, I think. And so let's go to the next slide, Genesis 14. Then, this is the next, or two chapters later, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He came out and he blessed Abraham, who was coming back with his army on the way from defeating these kings. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. He tithed. You don't give a tenth of everything to someone that you don't know who it is or that you don't recognize. Abraham recognizes who this is. Now, the New Testament explains this for us. Next slide, please, at Hebrews 7. For this, now this is written long, long later. For this Melchizedek, he is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. Oh. So Melchizedek is not a created being like the angels, what they are calling the princes of these kingdoms on earth. He is greater than that. He is Yahweh in a body before Yahweh came and took a body on for a full human life. And so let's go now to Genesis 15. It says one chapter later, after he met Melchizedek, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So what does the word of the Lord look like? It's a vision. What is he seeing? Is he seeing a text like this? I don't think so. The word of the Lord came to him in a vision and said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. And then the word of the Lord came to him, and the word of the Lord took him outside. I think this is God in a body appearing to Abraham and saying, come outside. You see all those stars? Your children are going to be as many as those stars. You won't be able to count them all. Well, let's go to the next slide. John 1. John in the gospel grabs a hold of this concept of the word and tells us this way about Jesus of Nazareth. And the word became flesh. He's done that before, but this time he did it from cell one and was born a baby and dwelt among us. He tented with us, it literally says. And we have seen his glory. Just like Stephen said, the God of glory appeared to Abraham. We have seen his glory because we have seen Jesus. Same person who has no genealogy, has no beginning and no end. John goes on, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Finally, this last slide, please. John 8. Your father, Abraham, Jesus says in a debate with the Judean leadership in Jerusalem at the holidays, years later in his ministry, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Judean leaders, the Jewish leadership, replied, you aren't 50 years old yet and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. He's completed the circle. That's who he is. They were so upset that they took up stones to stone him. And so you and I, in this day, we live as, you can take that down, thank you. We live as citizens of nations that are still overseen by powers and principalities. But the question is have I been adopted in or grafted in to the Lord's people, his nation? We're always going to live in this fallen place until the Lord comes back and makes it his kingdom again, the kingdom of God. And yet he is increasing his influence every day and in every way through his people, through the Holy Spirit being in his people. That's just the most amazing thing still about this messianic age that we live in and that I think we are seeing coming to a close. Are you adopted into, are you grafted into the Lord's people, into his nation? Are you in Messiah, who is the seed of the woman, who is the seed of Abraham, who is the seed of Jacob, and Jacob's son Judah, and their descendant David, the son of David? This son of David says to us, you are mine. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a thing you have done. Coming to Abram, coming to your servants and getting to know them and letting them know you and see you. Adam in the garden and then Abraham. Such a thing. And now we know you because of your word, because of your spirit, because of your people, and your presence in our midst. And for all this, we give you thanks. And Lord, whoever is here today and has never stepped into that, never been grafted in, Lord, hear them right now if they will pray and say to you, Lord, I need you. I need you for my forgiveness of my sins. I need your death and your resurrection and your ascension into the heavenly places. I need that in my life so that I can follow my King all of my days. Lord, whoever would pray that today, hear them and put your spirit in them. And we will thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Won't you stand if you're able and join us as we sing our final worship song to the Lord now, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a Just want to remind you that about 5 minutes after we end here, we'll have that informational meeting if you'd like to stay for that. Let me close our time reading from words from the Apostle Paul found in Galatians chapter 3. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying all the nations will be blessed through you. Amen.